Greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's a blessing to be here with you. It's an encouragement to see some Leola faces here. I apologize that you need to hear what you heard last Sunday, but... And some former Leola faces, I saw a few of those too. God has been good to us and blessed these plans. We're looking forward to sharing with you today. Appreciate the getting to know you. Bring greetings from the congregation at Leola to you. Thank you for your prayers on our behalf. I did appreciate the Sunday school lesson and the singing. I felt that the Spirit was definitely here and moving in our midst and preparing us. I had to think of the verse in relation to the Sunday school lesson, and I thought of a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's a picture, we got a picture of the end times this morning, and it's not a pretty picture. But, you know, we have a choice as to what we're going to do with that. We can shrink in terror and fear and cower, or we can rise while there's still day and while there's still hope. We can rise to the challenge of persuading men. And God bless you in that. There is work for us to do. I'd like to issue a special weather statement. There's fierce storms brewing. There's darkness coming. Take emergency precautions and procedures. Now, I'm not qualified to give a weather statement like you just heard in relation to natural weather. But I think I am qualified, and we're all qualified to be aware about the storms of life, and the darkness that is creeping in on the world and creeping in on us this morning. The title of the message is The Christian, A Lighthouse for the World. And my intention is that this sermon this morning is a foundation or gives a springboard for the topic of this evening, The Christian in Election Year. What do you think of when you think of a lighthouse? We usually, and I know we usually, when we think about a lighthouse in a spiritual connection, we think about Christ being a lighthouse. But I think this morning that Christians, you and I, can be a lighthouse. And I'm just going to go through a list of characteristics of lighthouses, and I want you to, As I go through them, I want you to think about them and think about how a lighthouse is a parallel to a Christian, to you and I. Number one, a lighthouse is a shore-based structure. It is anchored on the rock. It would not be a lot of good for a lighthouse to be out in the waves, would it? It would not do a lot of good there. It is a shore-based structure. It is anchored on the rock, Jesus Christ, in the Christian, looking at it as a Christian. A Christian is anchored on the rock. Number two, it assists sailors with navigation. The classic form is a tall tower with a lamp assembly at the very top. It assists sailors with navigation. Number three, they are known by their markings. And if you study lighthouses, you realize that they're all unique, and that they have a daytime response, that they are also identifiable by daytime. Some of them have swirling stripes like a candy bar or like a candy cane. And some of them are just different colors and coordinations. By night, they can be identified by their flashing sequences, and they're different. Like SOS signals, they can be sending out different variations, so that they know, they see a lighthouse. A sailor on the sea can look at a lighthouse and say, "Oh, I know which one that is." They're identifiable. are you identifiable this morning? Number four, a lamp creates a focus beam of light which is rotated across the water in a unique pattern. And so some of these patterns or the sequences can deliver different messages. Sometimes it warns of hazards, or it may point the way to a harbor mouth, a place of safety. Note the parallels. Number five, a lighthouse can be a beacon of hope. I guess this is continuing that thought. A warning of peril. The light has to be maintained continuously for the safety of the ships. A light has to be continually maintained. And number seven, they are steadily growing obsolete in this technological age that we're living. Radar, et cetera, all those things tend to make lighthouses obsolete. Is that the way it is in our, is that the way it is today? I think it is. I think the churches are becoming obsolete. The nominal Christian churches, nominal churches are dying. Lighthouses are growing obsolete. That should be a warning for us. Who is the light? Supposedly, the brightest light in the world is the Luxor light beam. It's a hotel in Las Vegas. It is supposedly the world's brightest, most powerful beam of light. It's 315,000 watt light is visible to airplane passengers from as far away as 250 miles. Well, that's not the light we're talking about this morning. What is the light, the brightest light of the world? The brightest light of the world is Jesus Christ. John 1, 4 through 9, in him was, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ is the light. But I believe this morning that, coming back to the lighthouse theme again, I believe that you and I are lights. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, ye are the light of the world. You this morning, dear brother, dear sister, you're the light of the world. A city that is set out on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. You and I are lights. And sometimes we get embarrassed of our light, don't we? Sometimes we are tempted to hide it. Sometimes we are tempted to paint our lighthouse a dull color. Sometimes we are tempted to stop the flashing light. Or am I the only one? How do we let our light shine? We need to take away, number one, we need to take away the bushel basket. And I'm not sure, I think we fail to recognize the significance of the candle. You know, back to Matthew 5, it mentioned the candle in the house. And I don't know, there's lights all over the place here this morning, and there's lights, sunlight coming in the windows. But you need to put your mind, let your mind wander back to a home 200 years ago at 9 o'clock at night, and there's no light. Maybe it's new moon, and there's no light outside. The only light you have is your candle. There's no light coming from the neighbors, from the town 10 miles away. It's dark. And there is one candle, possibly, at least in the room where you are, one candle. What is the point of putting a bushel basket over it? What is the point of even standing in the way of that light? You know, being careful where you stand so that the light can continue to shine. We don't understand that. Excuse me. My voice can give me problems sometimes. We don't understand the significance of that light. But there is another way to look at this light too. Sometimes we, and Jesus calls it here a bushel. Sometimes we let our work. The bushel basket was a useful instrument of work. And I think it sometimes our work can get in the way of our light as well. We're so busy in our bushel baskets. You know what I mean? We're so busy in that we lose our light. We don't have time to be a light. We don't have time to let it shine. Or maybe sometimes we're embarrassed that because our work doesn't quite line up with our light, and so we dim the light. How do we let it shine? Number one was take away the bushel basket. Number two, stay away from the darkness. You can turn to Ephesians 5. We need to stay away from the darkness. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, that are reproved, are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Go back to verse 11. Not just stay away, but to reprove. We have, the staying away is such a, it, I want to emphasize that first. It is so key. To be a lighthouse, we need to keep the darkness out of our lives. That is such an important thing. And that darkness is sin. We need to keep sin out of our lives. But we also need to reprove. As we stay away from the darkness, as we keep the darkness out of our lives, we need to reprove the darkness that we encounter. That word reprove means to confute or to confuse. Admonish. We need to direct. We need to directly counteract that darkness. Verse 11 and 12 gives us the understanding here that evil things need to darkness to grow. You know, that's the opposite of the way it is in the natural world. The natural world needs the light, sunlight, for photosynthesis to operate. But the evil things need the darkness to grow. And I think we all understand that. We've felt that in our own lives. There was times when we were hiding things in our lives and we needed that darkness. We wanted no one to see it because we were not ready to deal with it. And we wanted it to grow. We did not want it to starve. It needed darkness to grow. That's an awful thought. We need to stay away from the darkness. Verse 13, to make manifest means to render apparent. We need to show. The light exposes the darkness. The light exposes the darkness. The light and darkness cannot relate in the same place. The one outdoes, light outdoes the darkness. John 3, 19 through 21 says, and this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, that his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, for they are wrought in God. You know, this morning there's a great spiritual battle going on between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And sometimes it's visible. We can see this, but sometimes it's invisible. But there is never forget, there is a great spiritual battle going on. There is light and there is darkness. You're either a part of the kingdom of light this morning or you're a part of the kingdom of darkness. There is a natural separation between the two that God ordains and will orchestrate. It reminds us of the sheep and the goats. You know, Jesus will say the sheep on this side and the goats on this side. Just the same with light and darkness. God will bring that to fruition. God will bring that to a close. But in the meantime, there's this battle going on between spiritual forces of light and spiritual forces of darkness. But we have a choice this morning. We have a choice to which we identify with. Every day, we're making choices toward the light or toward the darkness. How to be a light. It's the next point. And number one, I have a Christian is light by default. The increasing darkness makes the true lights more noticeable. I'm not sure who first made that quote, but a Christian is light by default. What do I mean by that? A Christian has Christ in you. If you have Christ in you, you are a light. But it's not our light. It's not us that's shining. It's God. It's Christ that's shining through us. Praise the Lord for that. The darker the night, the more the true light shines, is another quote. Number two, a Christian is light by choice. The new birth is the number one choice of following the light, of being a light, the new birth, following Jesus, making the decision to follow Christ, and then follow daily and sometimes hourly by choices to identify with the light to Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think you're making too many choices this morning. Well, maybe you are. But during the week is when I get faced with the choice of which light, of whether to follow light or darkness, whether to choose light, to be in the light, or whether to hide something in darkness. During the week, when we're by ourselves, is when we're faced with that. Although that choice, I believe, comes on us maybe more often than what we think. We have a choice as to how we relate to the darkness. Adlai Stevenson, who was a former U.S. vice president, said it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Maybe we could modify that or clean it up a little bit by saying, instead of complaining about the darkness, glory in the light. It's your choice this morning. It is your choice to be a free man or woman, not in bondage to sin, sinful habits, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's your choice this morning to have a happy countenance. It's your choice to live a fruitful life. It's your choice to give a soft answer in the face of wrath, a forgiving attitude, a life that is separate from the life of nominal Christians, a changed life, a sanctified life, set apart for service. It's your choice this morning to live a life that shows no pastel colors. You know what the word pastel means? The ladies probably know. Pastel means light, a light shade, muted or neutral, a gray. But you know, how does that fit in with a Christian life? Is a Christian life pastel? Does he live his life in a pastel fashion? Is he sort of gray? Is he sort of in between? Is he sort of neutral, casual, late? No. A Christian life, is a light by choice, and it's a light that chooses to shine for Jesus. The light of Jesus, as it shines in the life of the Christian, illuminates the brilliant colors of the gospel. It's another way to be a light, to let the light of Jesus shine. The light of Jesus, I believe this morning is more, the sun's not shining right now. I was told that this is a cloudy part of the country, and I haven't seen a lot of it yet, but you know, sunlight can bring out color like nothing else. You think about that, especially in May, June, the brilliance of the green compared to the red tulips, compared to the blue sky, it's just the brilliant sunlight just brings out those colors. You know, it's that way in a Christian's life. As the light of Jesus is shining full blast, I guess you could say, into a Christian's life, And that light radiates out. It cannot help but do that. And it brings out color. The light of Jesus makes fruit grow in our lives. The light of Jesus taps into an inexhaustible source. This lamp is exhaustible. Our physical bodies are exhaustible. But the power source is not exhaustible. In a sense, we're like a phosphorescent substance that glows brightly for a time and then diminishes. You know what I'm talking about. It's something that if you hold it up to the light, it absorbs light and you quickly take it into darkness and it kind of glows for a while. Is that the way we are? In a sense, that's the way we as Christians are. We glow because of the light of the gospel, but we should not be fading out. The light of Jesus taps us into an inexhaustible source. We don't need to wear out because we're tapped into Christ. What is the darkness? What is the darkness? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this point, but the darkness is simply distance from the light. It is absence of spiritual life, the results of apostasy. It's devilish. It comes from Satan. That's where darkness comes from. There's been periods of darkness throughout history. There's been eras of dark ages. There was 400 years from the time of Malachi to Christ. Sometimes called the 400 or the years of darkness, 400 dark years, silent years. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up." And that's what the birth of Jesus Christ and the birth and the birth of the church shed a great light and closed the period of darkness. If there was another period then, what we call the Dark Ages, from the fall of the Roman Empire from about 500 BC to 1500 AD. And this Dark Ages was brought about because of the extreme power and abusive power of the apostate Roman Catholic Church, which put a strong control on people's lives. And it prevented the light. It prevented men's hearts and minds from becoming the full potential that God wanted them to be, and it put a darkness over Europe. Now there was a faithful church through that time. Don't get me wrong. There was periods of lightness even through that, but overall it was a period of dark ages. I believe in the 20th century, with the Iron Curtain, there was an abuse of power by communistic anti-freedom governments. It put a sort of darkness. Winston Churchill said, "A curtain is fallen upon Europe." And it did bring in somewhat of a darkness. I'm wondering about today whether we're entering a new dark age, and I think we are. I don't know what God has in store. He may come today. But it seems to me we're seeing a rise in socialism. People want governments to take care of them. They don't want to take the responsibility themselves. They want a paternalistic government entity, someone to make decisions for them. They'll pay extra taxes just to make it happen. I believe all this could bring about another darkness, another dark age. What we see in the cultural, political world today makes us think that darkness could be around the corner. But I want to tell you this morning that the real problem, and this is where I'm going to start introducing the evening message, the real problem this morning is not abortion. The real problem is not the liberal media or the lack of bipartisanship. The real problem is not the political system. The real problem is not the borders. The real problem is darkness, a rot at the core of Western culture. Cultures and societies need Jesus, though. Don't get me wrong. Not political reform. Jesus Christ is what the world needs. Churches are closing. Nominal Christianity faces the same issues that urban society does. The church, the nominal Christian church, is out on the ocean. The lighthouse has left the rock and it has become one with the stormy seas. Its light has gone out. A curtain of darkness is falling. Number four, what is the Christian's place in relating to this cultural darkness? And that's where I'll close. Come back this evening and we'll take this thought farther. In the meantime, don't be discouraged. We have a work to do. We have a light to shine. We have a lighthouse to maintain. Let's not let our light go out. Let's not let our paint fade and become pastel on the outside. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.